days that God in His wisdom chose. I don't know that anyone else would have chose these days in particular for Christ Community Church to make the commitments we're going to make. But I know this, and I have confidence in this, that these are the days that God chose. These are the times we are the church that God chose to take Christ Community Church to the place we've been dreaming of. You might look around and say, I don't know if we got it. I don't know if we have it. But let me tell you something. God knows. And if we know God, we can move forward with God. I want you to think about this as we sing this final song before the sermon. These are the days God chose. He's bigger than any fear or insecurity we may have. He's bigger than any deficit. He's bigger than any financial mountain or hill. He's bigger than all those things. God is God. All of it belongs to Him. And when we belong to Him, we can rest in Him. Amen? I'm going to put this up here. This states our commitment through the series of commitment sermons that have been preached through God's leading in God's Word for the last month and a half. We're going to have an opportunity to sign this, but I just want y'all to see that and just know that God is doing something special at Christ Community Church in these days.
Trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion till salvation come.
And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of the harvest. The fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of jubilee. Out of Zion till salvation come. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of jubilee. Out of Zion till salvation come.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Behold, He comes,
riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of jubilee. Out of Zion till salvation come. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion till salvation come. Out of Zion till salvation come.
That's what I'm hearing. You know, usually you don't play songs like that right before the sermon, because before the sermon you're supposed to wind everybody down and get everybody settled. I figure if we're too wind down and too settled, we're not going to be able to do what God wants us to do in the first place. So let's fire it up a little bit. What do y'all think?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that good? Listen, I'm going to pray for us, but I have an immediate request that somebody can answer. Somebody, some member of Christ Community Church. I do ask that you be a member of Christ Community Church. But Shane Viner and some of our MAT leaders, those are our teenagers who have been through a training class that help assist folks. They're going to do a children's church program today for our first through sixth graders. It's been a long time since our first through sixth graders have gone to Friends Church, but I need one more adult who would go up there. Even if your name's Izzy or whoever it is, you know, just somebody. Will you go, Izzy? Okay, all right. Well, we got that. Give Izzy a hand. All right. All right, now, look, for all our kiddos from sixth grade down, if you're in here, it's been a long time since I've been able to say this to all y'all, but ready, break. Come on down. There we go. There we go. Now we're cooking. Mm-mm-mm. Well, it's a good thing we got to look at. That was half the congregation. I think those might have been the fired up ones. Oh, man. I'm going to keep them in here from now on. Holy moly. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for an opportunity to come and respond to what you've been calling us to do. This truly is an invitation message, a message that comes and asks for a response, for a commitment that you've been talking to us about for the last month and a half. Father, help us to respond in trust and boldness and confidence, not in our own ability, but in you, the God who knows how to save, who knows how to provide. Our confidence and our faith in you. Help us to respond to you, Lord, today. We love you, and we give you all the praises. In Jesus' name, amen. The phrase on my mind that God's given me through this process is this: resources follow commitment. Resources follow commitment. Let me tell you just a story about I wasn't a new Christian, but I was new to the call in the ministry. It was 1998. I responded to God's call in the ministry in January of 1998. And I went to Bible college. What I tell you about is actually happened in 99. But anyways, I went to Bible college. And while in Bible college in 1999, so just a year into being called into ministry, I was challenged to go to the Middle East, to go to Israel and Egypt and Jordan. And we were going to be there for a month. And it was going to be two class sessions. It was going to be six credit hours. But by the time you added the six credit hours, and you added the airfare and the hotel package and the eating and the transportation cost while you're on the ground for being a month in a different country, it came to about $6,000. I was single, I had a part-time job, and I was a full-time college student. I did not have $6,000. Now I'm married, and I have two jobs, and I still don't have $6,000. Anyways, not a lot of things have changed. But my point is this. I let that get to me. I let that discourage me. And I initially just shut out any possibility of me going on that trip because I didn't see the resources there. So I just closed my mind to it. I said, it don't matter how much I would like to go. The resources aren't there, so I can't go. Bottom line. Now, my best friend, who's been my best friend forever and a day, and I imagine because he is my best friend, he'll be my best friend forever and a day again into the future. He came to me, and I believe he had a really good word from God. He said, John, resources follow commitment. He says, you don't see it now, but that's because you haven't stepped in the water. You don't see it now, but that's because you haven't committed to going. You haven't made a decision and said, you haven't sought the Lord and said, Lord, would you have me go on this trip? And if that's an affirmative, then you know wherever God guides, God will provide. You know, that's the story of Genesis chapter 1, just while I'm on that subject. Do you know how God built everything? Kind of like an engineer. He built everything first. He first gave us light, and He gave us water and atmosphere, and He gave us land and food, plant food, and eventually animal food. All that got on the earth before we were there. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that He built the big fish tank before He put us fish in it? I am. Wherever God guides, God provides. God knows how to do those things. So I prayed to God, and I felt like as a minister of Jesus Christ and as a single man, this might be my opportunity to take a month off and go and do these things. And I committed to it. And I'm telling you what, I went. God met the need. We went. It was $6,000. And He didn't just give me overtime at FedEx. He didn't just have me skip a semester of school and not pay tuition. He provided the whole thing. And I went to Israel, and I went to Jordan, and I went to Egypt. And I was there for a month, and I got to learn and see things and even smell things. I counted myself blessed to walk down the cobblestone brick streets of old Jerusalem and smell bread being baked in a stone oven, probably very much like what Jesus smelled when He walked down those same places. But I learned this lesson: resources follow commitment. I've talked to Christians in the same way, and where they think, you know, I don't know that I'm growing in the Lord. I don't know that I can grow. I seem to be hitting my head against these same old situations, the same old bad habits, the same old addictions, the same old problems, the same old moral pitfalls. And I want to ask them, because sometimes I find out they've never really committed their life to the Lord. Can I tell you, the resources that it takes to grow in Christ require you first to have a commitment to Christ. You know, we get hung up on this cultural Christianity where everybody's a Christian, where everybody has a church. But you know what? Some people don't grow in Christ because they don't know Christ. And you can't grow in Christ until you know Him, until you have that relationship with Him. It is fruitless to try to become a good Christian when you're not a Christian. There has to be that commitment. And then the resources. Oh, what resources does God bring? Think about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, enlightening the Word of God, the resources to grow as a Christian after you've made that commitment to Christ are unlimited. They're there. They're abundant. They're God resources. You know, oh my goodness. When you make that commitment to God, how the resources for you to grow in your faith pile up. And He opens your eyes to Him. And everything becomes a special moment. Can I put a plug in for next Sunday real quick? Next Sunday, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to share the Lord's Supper together. Now, I know that it's Labor Day weekend. I didn't know that until I talked to the really brilliant women in the band who reminded me that it was, and I tried to argue with them. Men, have you ever tried to argue with a lady, especially about, you know, specific dates and things? Yeah. Anyways, tried it, lost again, just trying to learn my lesson all the way, you know, to say just listen to what they say. They're right. It's Labor Day, but nonetheless, we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And I don't know what you think about the Lord's Supper. I used to think it was a ginormous waste of religious time. I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't like it. It was always added on to the end of a sermon. It seemed just like a formality, like we're paying the dues. You know, I'm paying the dues at the church. We got to do this. It wasn't really emphasized. But let me tell you something, what I've learned in how God's grown me. That is a tremendous resource. What a tremendous time to represent what Christ has done for us. The sacrifice of His body, the shedding of His blood for a new covenant between us and God that we might be saved. What an awesome time. What a special time for a church family to come together and re-express our faith in Christ and in Christ alone. So if you're able, if you're in town, if you're not on vacation, you come on and we share the Lord's Supper together. And then after that, we're going to go out to our property and look at our little building that's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do that too next Sunday. But resources follow commitment. What about in marriage? What about in marriage? Let me tell you, the resources you need to have a healthy marriage follow commitment. If there's trouble in a marriage, don't just shoot down the symptoms. Go right to the foundation. Go right back to the commitment. What are we committed to? Who are we committed to? Why are we committed to this? And really get down there, because the resources you need follow the commitment. Okay? Now, I know it doesn't work 100% of the time. I got you on that, on marriage. I know marriage is tough. It's like God's chisel and hammer chipping away, and that's never a pleasant thing. But y'all, just want you to know, resources follow commitment. This is Commitment Sunday. Resources follow commitment, church. And for the last several weeks, for the last 6 weeks, I think, with one sermon in between that wasn't dedicated to commitment, we had heard from God's Word about several different commitments. I can wrap that all up in saying our commitment to be His church. Here's our commitment to be His church. The first thing I notice about these list of commitments is that all of them are Godward. All of them are Godward. There is no commitment we make as His church that don't first commit to Him. Whether it's in giving, whether it's in real life situations, whether it's in ministry, our commitment is first and foremost always to God personally. Always to God personally. In your bulletin, I have written down the commitments that we've heard for the last 6 weeks. Our commitment to be His church, this is what it is. We commit to God and to His walk. That's from Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. But this was the one that started us off, to say, if we're not committed to God, so what we do? So what kind of building we have? So what kind of programs we have, and whether there's somebody for upstairs or not? Who cares what we have if we're not committed to God? Then we're like any other group. We're like any other bunch of people. I mean, we can have a good time, we can fellowship, but we're not going to be used in the transforming of this world for the glory of God. Our commitment first has to be to God, even before one another, to God. To God and to His way of life. Love that Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. What a commitment. Do you have that commitment today? You know, we can't be His church. We can't reach to the heights that He would have us unless we are first committed to God. Do you have that commitment to God today? Wrestle with yourself. Ask yourself. Evaluate yourself. The verses in Ephesians, I'm not going to quote 21 verses. You might be happy about that. But I'm going to tell you what they talk about. It says, first, walk as children of light. Then it says, of love. Then walk as children of light. And then walk with wisdom, being filled with the Spirit. Not being drunk, not being influenced by intoxicating, whether it's spiritual intoxicants like the world, whether they're physical intoxicants like wine or drugs, whether it's the intoxicants of an affair, whether it's the intoxicants of whatever evil things are out there. Don't be filled and led astray by those things, but be filled with the Spirit and walk as children of God. Oh, that's His walk. You know, to be His church, we got to be committed to His way. Otherwise, we're just Christians in name only. Is that pleasing? You don't have to respond out loud. I just want you to think to yourself, would you like to just be a Christian in name only? Would you like just to be a professing Christian who's not bothered by the preacher up front challenging us to live to the life that God expects from a believer, from a disciple? Does the word disciple bother you? Would you like just to be referred to as a Christian? As someone who kind of believes in a theory, in a program, in a philosophy out here, something out there, something tangible, something you can write on a piece of paper, but when it comes to what indwells your heart, you don't want to get anywhere near it. You don't want them anywhere near you. You want to just keep living comfortable. Is that what you want? Because I can tell you, I don't believe for one second that's what God wants from Christ Community Church. And I can guarantee you one thing. There's probably a church that really wants to do that, that wants to keep the status quo, everybody to look pretty, to be normal, and there's plenty of churches like that, but this ain't one. It's weird to say that, but we said it all day in Sunday school today. We're not normal. And that's not what we're striving to be. We're not striving to be predictable. Well, I know what they're going to do at church today. It's the same thing they do every day, and I just love it. And God fits in his nice box, and he doesn't ask me to do anything I don't like. He doesn't ask me to love people that I don't like. Come on now. If you want to play it, this is not the church. This is not the church to do that. And matter of fact, Jesus doesn't own a church that's about playing. I promise that. A lot of churches, Jesus doesn't own a church that plays. Jesus doesn't own a bride that is lukewarm towards him. The romance that he has between the church is fiery hot between him to the church and the church to him. That's the way it ought to be. Because it wouldn't be no good marriage otherwise. You understand what I'm saying? That's our first and foremost commitment. But I want you to notice on all these commitments, we commit to God. We get to commit to God and to the real world. To God and the real world. From Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, all the way to Ephesians 6, 9. And in those passages, we've seen where the Bible specifically addresses. It says, to the wives, to the husbands, to the parents, to the employee, to the employer. Y'all, we fall in there somewhere. You fall in there somewhere. And if you say, well, I just don't, you do. You do. Because I can guarantee you, you a child at one time. And if you think you're too old to have parents you ought to honor, LG, you old enough to be everybody's parents here. So you know what I'm saying? We got somebody you can pay honor to. Almost. Almost. Bottom line is, what we talk about, what God gives us messages on in church, isn't to stay in this building. It's not to stay in any building. It's not to be lived out and talked out here, and then we go home and we're disrespectful. We go home and we're dishonoring. We go home and we're just kind of, I'm a Christian in the church, but I'm just who I am everywhere else. There's a song. This is how we roll. This is how we roll. We cuss on them Mondays. We pray on them Sundays. Anybody know that song? Anybody? Am I the only one listening to country music? All right. If you're cussing on Mondays and praying on Sundays, there's something wrong with your heart. Okay? Because we want to be those who are, we want to be Christian throughout. Now, I like that song. I like the kind of rock and roll country. Now, I got it in my head. This is how we roll. Anyway, my point is this. That's not the commitment we're looking for from God. You know, God tells us to commit. God is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year God. And we ought to be disciples to match that. Every day. All the time. Okay? That's the idea of being a Christian in the real world. There's a passage in the Scripture that says, my name is blasphemed among the non-believers because of you. Do you think it's because of what Christians do in church, or it's because of what we don't do out in the world, or what we are doing out in the world? We want to be committed to 24/7. That's part of the commitment of being His church. Our commitment to be His church is a commitment to God first and to grace-giving. Among the things of grace-giving, I want to particularly put financial giving. This means your tithe. This means your offering. This means that you are going to give to God what He's asked of us in His Word. But to fall in love with God to the point where you understand it's all His, it's all from Him, and you can give what He asks of you to give and not be afraid. We've run into issues at this point at Christ Community Church. I've heard so many people say this is the issue at Christ Community Church. That we got a bunch of attenders, but not a lot of contributors. Let me say this. If your heart's with God, I believe you'll be a contributor. That's why it's to God first. And the tithe is what God requires. You read that. This is where people try to divorce the Old Testament from the New Testament, by the way. Even good Baptist folks. Well, you know, that's the Old Testament, and it doesn't say anything about the tithe in the New Testament. I know, honey, it doesn't. It says give all you got. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Even if you think you are in poverty, even if you think you are in afflictions, it says give abundantly. Something tells me that giving only 10% out of 100 isn't very abundant in the first place. So if you want to talk about New Testament giving, it's grace giving. Grace is going beyond the pale. It's going beyond measure because you believe in what God is doing and you're willing to give. No church in the history of churches have ever done anything great for the Lord if they've been hesitant in being financial contributors. That's the facts. I almost said that's the facts, Jack, but anyways, I got commented on, you know, that's from a movie. But that's how that works. You know, and I, there's parts where I take the blame, and one of the things we've always said at Christ Community Church is we're not going to be a church that kept saying, you got to give money and you got to send, if you send this to us, we'll send you a special pillow to put under your head that will wrap you up in blessings at night. That's not what we're talking about. But I'm going to tell you, as responsible believers who've given their heart to God, finances is part of that. And if you want to go forward as a church, it's got to be there. If you want to, you know, we can say all the things all day long, but we'll be meeting under a tree. We'll be meeting under a tent. We'll be meeting just at each other's houses because things, if you're enjoying the air conditioning right now, since, you know, God turned the heat up on the thermostat here in August, we was cool. We could have made it through July maybe without air, but now, aren't you thankful? All these things cost. But hey, that's just one of them things. We live in Mississippi. If we lived, you know, they have church under the broom tree in Africa. People just gather up under a tree. There's different places where they meet in caves. There's places where they meet in open field. There's places where they meet in this kind of place and that kind of place. But where do we live? We live in Mississippi. Where do the church folks in Mississippi gather up to meet? In the air-conditioned building. Yeah. So if we want to reach Mississippi people with the gospel of Christ, we're going to have to take on some of those things. All right? That's just part of it. But our commitment, don't you forget this, is always to God first. Always to God and to giving. Nextly, it's to God. We commit to God and to His ministry. God and His ministry. The reason why I say God and His ministry, and I say it that word, it's a little bit awkward, because it is His ministry, though. If we're doing our own thing, we're not making disciples of Jesus Christ. If we're doing His thing, we got the potential to make disciples of Jesus Christ, which is what the Great Commission says, by the way. Go, therefore, into every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, or make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples for Him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 29 describe how the fullness of God dwells in Christ and how Christ, through His blood and through the cross, made peace with us that He might present us holy and blameless and above reproach in the sight of God. Wow, His ministry. That's His ministry. I love that because I know He won't fail. No matter how big of a problem student I am, I'm looking at my teacher row, you know, no matter how bad of a problem of a student I am, I know He'll be successful. I know that He can change me. I know He has changed me. I know He'll continue to change me. And He won't ever fail in His ministry. And I really want to join Him in ministry. I don't want to add a bunch of religious activity to anybody's life. I want to join Him. I want to do what He's doing. That's what Paul said. He said, I rejoice in my ministry. In the sufferings that I have, filling up in my own body that which lacks. And he said, our goal is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whew. What a tall order. And it's an impossible thing if we're on our own. But What if we join him in his ministry? Not getting religious. Not just trying to say, you need to be a part of this program and that program. We're going to use programs, but y'all, those are tools. And we're always going to make sure we keep our eye on the one who owns the tools and the one who owns the church, on the good shepherd who leads the sheep. Amen? We want to be a part of his ministry. We're going to be a part of his ministry. So, we're going to do this in two phases. This is the first phase. I'm wondering if you're ready to make a commitment to be his church in Grenada, Mississippi. Are you willing to be his church in Grenada, Mississippi? If so, we have a place for you to sign. Now, this kind of sounds strange, but you know, when we've been having our meetings, there's been a theme that's come up because certain people have to sign for the building, and that's going to be part two here. But it occurred to me, why don't we sign? Why don't we all have something, all those who want to sign, sign? But let me tell you, the first commitment, buildings aside, because a church, a group of people, one, is not a building, right? We've proved that. We've been in different places. But two, a church, a group of people who aren't willing and committed to be his church, they don't need a building. They don't deserve a building. They really ought not have a building because they'd just be wasting resources. And God ought to reallocate those to somewhere and some people who are willing to commit to being his church. It might sound a little hard, but that's the real thing. So I just want to invite you, and I'm going to start by asking, I'm going to start by signing. We have up here, we have two sheets of paper. Let me make sure I get the right ones. And they're going to go here with our signatures on them. We all see that? That's nice. It has the commitments and the scriptures that we've committed to being his church. If you're committed to being his church, I want to invite you to come and sign. Okay? I'm going to ask if my leaders would come. And then after that, just you come as God leads you and just return back to your seat for part two of today's message. It's not a dotted line, it's just a regular line. I thought about getting two going. Should we get two going? We'll just fill out one. If you feel like God's leading you to sign, we can just come on up. Just come on up. This is a signature to be his church. Because a people that's not committed to being his church don't need a building. And you don't have to be a member, but you need to be committed. We don't just believe in saying, well, this is how many people we have. But if you're committed to those things we said, you come on up. And there's not an age requirement. If you're sitting in this room and you're committed, it's all right how old you are, you come on. If that's your commitment, you come on and sign.
Building.
I hope we get there in the next couple weeks. Y'all, come on. There's two pins there. I don't know if there's any way to expedite this process. But we don't have to be real fast. We won't be real long on the next one. Hey, Eddie, could you maybe put some music on while we're waiting? Maybe something, put something good on. This is how we roll. I can't even sing all that song. I think there's a cuss word in it. That's what I've been told by my pagan friends. Up here, I didn't want her to say anything weird. You never know, Akeisha. Look, we're going to put these things in here. As there's people here who want to sign that aren't here to sign, and we'll have that. They'll have an opportunity to sign. There's some working in the children's ministry right now that'll have the opportunity to sign. But we're going to have this, and it's going to be a steady reminder. Again, above any other commitment, this is a reminder to say we are going to be His church, committed to God and to be His people first and foremost. And y'all, I don't know about y'all. I know you were in line, and it's kind of boring. But y'all, do y'all know what we're doing? Do y'all get a sense of the gravity of what we're saying and what we're saying to God? A God who hears, a God who pays attention, the living, true God, creator of heaven and earth. You all know what we're... Y'all get that picture? That's exciting to me. That's exciting because I know what He does. I know who He is. So amen. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to have there'll be other opportunities for folks who were not here, folks who come on in the future. There's room to sign. There's room to say, yes, I believe God has led me here for this commitment and for this time. All right. And so for these days, I'm excited about that. Now, not to test your patience, not to push you beyond the realm of reason. Okay. We're going to do things. We're going to first take our offering, all right? And so if my ushers would get ready for the morning offering. After that, we are going to have another opportunity to sign. I know you said, man, we've signed everything. This next commitment is going to be specifically about building a building. There's a reason why we're doing that secondary. It's a reason why we're doing that different. Because y'all, again, a commitment to being the church is the priority. If we don't have that commitment, the other commitment is meaningless. But with that commitment, we feel like we can go forward and say, we are going to be the church that builds that building, that we're going to see that through. Okay? So that'll be our second commitment. Before we do that, we're going to take up the offering. Let me pray. Father, thank You for how You love us. Thank You for the way You're leading Christ Community Church to stand up and be Your church in Jesus' name. Not just to be a group, not just to be a group of people who are content to come and have their, you know, have a message or to have a music just that they like, but to come and say, we are going to be the ones used of God to be sure there's a church that'll take the misfit, to take the least, the last, the lost, to take the unnormal and the normal, to take all who come where everyone is welcome. Father, You're planning the future of our church, of Christ Community Church, of Your church here in Grenada. And Lord, we love You for it, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.